You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we will be going to your calls live in just a few moments. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I want to talk about the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Cover story is Artificial Intelligence Taking Over. If you have not been living under a rock, you have probably become aware of all kinds of movies on artificial intelligence. I think of Blade Runner, AI, which of course stands for artificial intelligence, the Terminator movies, Her, The Matrix. And as a result of this spate of movies, we did a feature, as I said, cover story article on this very subject. It's titled, Who's Afraid of Hal? Subtitled, Why Computers Will Not Become Conscious and Take Over the World. It could just as well be subtitled, Why Computers Cannot Become Conscious and Take Over the World. It's written by Dr. Charles Edward White. And it's very relevant because cultural icons ranging from Bill Gates to Stephen Hawking continuously harbor this irrational fear that computers may become conscious and independent and as such pose a draconian threat to human beings. But in reality, what Gates and Hawking should fear is not the mythology of conscious computers, but the reality of conscious programmers who are armed with artificial intelligence. And I say all of that because what has been conclusively demonstrated is that unlike human intelligence, artificial intelligence is unable to solve a whole range of conundrums. Why? Because there is an essential difference between a human mind and a machine. Computers can perform computations. Only minds can engage in conscious thinking. Not only that, but computers are incomplete because computers rely on a system of mathematics. And there will always be mathematical statements within the system that the computer cannot prove. And if all mathematical systems are incomplete, then the computers that implement those systems have to be incomplete as well, and therefore cannot attain to consciousness. One final point in this regard is that we can demonstrate that the mind is not identical to the machine in that the mind and the machine have different properties. Mind has metaphysical properties to which a machine can never attain. The subjective texture of your conscious mental experiences, you can think about the feeling of pain or the experience of sound or the awareness of color, is different from anything that is simply physical. And therefore, a moment's reflection is enough to convince a thinking physicalist that the experience of color involves more than a mere wavelet of light. So the bottom line is that a machine can never produce a mind. And therefore, Bill Gates need not fear future IBM creations of conscious creatures And nor will HAL, the computer featured in the film 2001 A Space Odyssey, become conscious, independent, and dangerous. Again, this is a very important issue because we as Christians believe that the mind and the brain are not identical. The mind causes the physical synapses of the brain to fire, but they're not identical. In fact, when you are born, you are not just born a physical being, you are also born a metaphysical being. In other words, you were born a body-soul unity. Machines are not created by humans with metaphysical capacities. This article is brilliant, it's important, it's relevant. Why? Because, as I mentioned at the beginning of my talking points here, is that there are all kinds of movies out there that people are buying into uncritically, thinking, wow, this could really happen. And then you have eminent scientists and cultural icons that are promoting the idea, in fact, fearful of that very possibility. So what these cultural icons fear, people begin to fear as well. No need to fear. In fact, if you adhere to a Christian worldview, what you can do is become the salt and light exactly when you need to be. The article is very, very readable. And it is, again, the cover story of the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. If you're not subscribing, you ought to be subscribing. In fact, I'd be pleased to send you a copy of the journal for your support of the ministry. We have other resources available, but you can check it out on the web at equip.org. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Keith, listening in South Dakota on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Hank. Yes, Hank, my question is this. I have the book, A Meaningful World, by Benjamin Wicker and Jonathan Witt. This is the book that really generated the question, and I think I understand the answer, but I want you to put it in words for me. And in asking the question, I in no way intend to be disrespectful to another faith. That's not the point of the question. But the question is this. You're familiar with the book, A Meaningful World, aren't you?
I am very familiar with the book as well as the authors. I've promoted the book on the show.
Right. I'm pretty sure I got this book from Christian Research Center. My question is this. Is another faith, such as Islam, are they able to generate this kind of literature?
Well, no. They can't generate this kind of literature. I mean, there's a sense in which they are against arts such as music. They are against arts such as icons. And there's a worldview within Islam that is actually very detrimental to seeing how the arts and the sciences reveal the genius of nature. But part of this is because we have a different God, and the God that we have has laid his imprimatur on the world, not only in sciences such as mathematics, but also in icons and art forms and in music.
Yeah, I kind of had an idea of how you were going to explain that. The question has kind of been, it's just been eating away at me lately, because it seems like that book it's so expansive. I mean, it's so inclusive and brings in, it brings in the entire world and the human experience. And then I got to thinking, let's say another faith such as Hinduism or something, do they generate this kind of literature?
Well, look, I think one thing that we have to recognize, whether we're talking about Hinduism or Buddhism or Christianity or Islam, is that all truth is God's truth. The general revelation is available to all people in all cultures. And we say that because even the Gentiles, the Bible says, know in their heart that there is such a thing as natural law. And if you are on a twig and you saw off the twig you're on, you fall as a result of natural law. So all truth is God's truth, and that truth should be available to all systems of thought, but not all systems of thought enhance or embrace it. Some suppress it, and that's my point.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Ann.
You got it. Thanks so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Karen in Lebanon, Tennessee, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Karen.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. And I pray that I even ask this question proper. I'm kind of struggling with the salvation of my children, and I look at my own salvation. I was lost all the way till I was 41, and the Holy Spirit came on me. I had an experience, and it's just like the eyes were open, and, you know, I never turned my back again. And I see my children, you know, I've said the sinner's prayer, but it's, you know, there's nothing there. And I know the word talks about Satan blinds the minds so that they can't see. And I know that it's the Holy Spirit is the one that actually does the brings us, you know, the salvation. But I'm kind of getting confused as to the, does the Holy Spirit work in everybody's mind who's been blinded? Does he give us all that opportunity?
The answer is that the Holy Spirit woos everyone, which is to say that the Apostle Paul, and this is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, he's in Athens, he's on Mars Hill, the Areopagus. I was just there this past summer. And he sees a statue to an unknown God, and he starts to give a polemic for the Christian worldview. And in the process, he says this, "From one man God made all the nations of men, that they should inhabit the entire earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us." So what Paul is saying there is that everyone has the light of creation, everyone has the light of conscience, and if we respond to the light we have, we can have the light of Christ. And that is because the Holy Spirit woos us, we can respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, just as we can respond to the light of creation, or we can reject and suppress that. So when someone prays the sinner's prayer, we must never look at that as though it's some kind of a magical formula. It's like signing on the dotted line, and now you have a free insurance policy that gets you out of a bad place and gets you into a good place. Because the Christian life is a whole lot more than that. It is a living relationship with Christ. But more than that, it's the exchanged life in that Christ becomes engrafted in our life. So we're no longer living, but Christ is living within us. So we have to, I mean, look at what it means when we say the sinner's prayer. So often we think, well, I mean, what happened? They prayed that prayer. But it's not just praying a prayer. It's not just recognizing that Christ saved us by his death, but that he saved us into his life. And when he does, we become co-consummators of the kingdom with him.
Right, so what about the person that lived all their life rejecting them, and at the very last moment before death, they say the sinner's prayer? Don't they go to be, you know, like Jesus said to the thief on the cross, you know, today you will be in paradise?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you can look at this two different ways. I mean, remember the Lord said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Right? So there are people who say the sinner's prayer, but their hearts are far from him. In other words, like Judas, they are there because they love what's on the master's table. They don't really love the master at all. So
right.
God knows the intent of the heart. And I think oftentimes we think that there's magic in the words, but the real issue is, do the words reflect the intent of the heart?
Right. Oh, and but it's not really the Holy Spirit working so much as the invitation to all of us.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit is actually working actively in the world. He is wooing us, just as a man would woo a woman that he wants to marry. I mean, he's actively wooing us, and we have to suppress that. We have to reject that, or we can receive it. We can bow our knee to the Creator, to the light that we have been given. You know, that's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Light came into darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the issue is never that there's not enough light. The issue is that people love darkness rather than light. And so they follow the predilections of their own will as opposed to receiving Jesus Christ. And then living not just, as I mentioned earlier, the changed life, but what the early church talked about when it talked about the exchanged life or the engrafted life of Christ. We are coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Go to the web and look at the fantastic resources we have available for those that support the ministry, including the Word of God audio Bible. I absolutely love it. I'm listening to it every day in my car.
There is a battle for truth raging around us, but the firm foundation upon which Christians stand is God's Word. It is the supreme authority and knowledge base from which our worldview radiates. Become grounded in God's Word through the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. Brilliantly recorded, it is a deeply inspiring, spiritually and artistically rich new production voiced by internationally renowned actors. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Hank will be back after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff writes, "Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. Immerse yourself in the Scriptures with the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version voiced by an all-star cast, featuring an original musical score and wonderful sound effects. Receive the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Well, let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Mark, listening in Louisville, Kentucky, also Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mark.
Hank, how are you this evening?
Doing well, thank you.
It's always a great pleasure to talk with you, and I appreciate so much your broadcast of this ministry. If I can, I'll put a quick plug in for the equip.org app. It's one of the easiest apps I've ever used, and use it all the time to listen to podcasts as I travel on the road occasionally for business. So I appreciate that opportunity very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
My question tonight, you know, so I've been a Christian for a long time, so 40 years, and maybe my whole life, you know, very much involved in church life. And I wonder from time to time, I guess through the experiences of those years, you know, are we doing church right? And what I kind of had in mind with the question this evening is specifically looking at some of the ways we spend our money, you know, buildings and facilities, for instance. You know, the common thing you see, a church starts out, maybe it's in a small, pretty inexpensive building. It has a great pastor or whatever, and it grows and it builds bigger buildings. And then the next thing you know, it builds a life center or gym. And then it gets more campus, right? It just goes on and on. And I've seen a couple of examples in Louisville alone where, you know, a church was thriving at one time with, say, 800 to 1,000 people in regular attendance, and it had the facilities to support that, and something happened in that church, and then, you know, its numbers diminish, and it's left trying to hang on and spending money on maintenance and all sorts of things for these buildings. And, you know, to some degree, I have a similar question about the staffing in a church, but it's a little easier to make adjustments relative to the staff, I think, because it's hard to, particularly if it's a good size building, it's hard to find someone interested in those. So I'm just curious if either in your opinion or if there is biblical, you know, guidance and the other side of that coin, like I think about home churches and would we, you know, is what Christ and the apostles had in mind more that we do that in homes, or do you think what they had in mind was that we have these elaborate church buildings?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I've often asked that question myself, particularly as I've traveled around the world. And you go to, for example, China, and you will find these small house churches. Why? Because they couldn't afford a pastor, much less a building. But one thing that they do provide is an opportunity for each member to bring their portion to the worship of God. And so they prophesy not in the sense of foretelling the future, but in the sense of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, strengthening, encouraging, edifying the body of Christ. Now, having said that, that does not mean church buildings are wrong per se, because buildings can be very useful. They're a place that people can gather. They're a place where people can be equipped. So the building itself can serve a very useful purpose. But oftentimes, particularly in our age, what we have is pastorpreneurs, meaning pastors that are entrepreneurs. They don't necessarily have a whole lot of depth. They have good rhetorical skills. They can attract a large crowd. And then, as you said, something happens. Well, the problem here is the pastor has become the star. And the pastor has become the attraction. And I don't think that the church was ever meant for that. The church was meant for the equipping of God's people. So if the pastor wants to be the star or the entertainer, as opposed to the equipper, then you end up with a personality cult and oftentimes a problem. So I don't think that you can make blanket statements in this regard, but what I'm pointing to is certain pitfalls if the pastor really isn't doing what the pastor is called to do, prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. So what is a healthy, well-balanced church? Well, it's a church in which God is worshiped through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word. It's a church where people can gather and experience oneness. So it's not just marbles bouncing off one another in an empty cathedral. It's a church in the truest sense when it is equipping, as I mentioned earlier, God's people to communicate what they believe, why they believe, and in whom they have believed. So all of these functions of a healthy, well-balanced church, if they're taking place, then the church is not dependent on the popularity of a person or whether that person rises or falls, because the whole body itself is functioning in the way that the Bible intends for the body to function.
Okay, yeah, that's very good. That's very good. All right, that's all I wanted. Thanks very much.
Hey, you got it. Thank you, Mark, for your plug, for your call. And by the way, in concert with what Mark was saying, you can download CRI's Equip app. Just go to equip.org/app. You can listen, you can learn, you can share, you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live, archived editions, read well-researched articles, and much, much more. You can even give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Amy listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Amy's listening on Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi, Hank. First, I want to say thank you for all you do. You've equipped me several times in many conversations, so I just want to say thank you.
Bless you. Thank you.
So my question is about the Mandela effect. My husband's quite the conspiracy theorist, and I don't know what to say about it, and I wanted to kind of get your take.
Well, you know, just the way you posed the question, I think, is pretty brilliant, because it is all about conspiracy theory. And, you know, the problem with conspiracy theories is that you can't falsify them. And conspiracy theory, in this case, is a contending that we're living in an alternate reality. And it's named for a particular person who believed that Nelson Mandela died in prison during the 1980s, and then she realized many others also believed that very same thing, and then began wondering why. And then she notes that there are groups of people who remember periods of history in very different but elaborate terms, and then attributes all this thinking to the paranormal. So she's taking one step after another step after another step, but she's got her feet firmly planted in midair. There's no basis for the conspiracy theory to begin with. Of course, Mandela died in his home, surrounded by his family, in 2013. These are incontrovertible facts, and they fly in the face of the conspiracy.
So it doesn't hold any merit whatsoever.
Zero.
And if we did a little bit of research, we'd be able to see that.
Yeah, I think so. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate in an age of internet lies. They travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. And that's why we talk at the Christian Research Institute about the need for discernment skills. Because if you don't have them, you're going to get tripped up every which way.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you so much, Hank. I appreciate it.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ray listening in Darlington, Maryland. Hi, Ray.
Hey, hi, Hank.
Hi.
Hey, I guess my question comes, I say like everybody else, I appreciate all you do. And my question is that if you have sin in your life that you know, and of course God knows about the sin, but you've never really confessed it to man, is that necessary to be saved?
Well, you know, I don't know whether we want to ask the question whether it's necessary, but whether or not it's useful. I think it is useful to, you know, have someone that you're accountable to, particularly when you rise up in Christian ministry or have been involved in the walk with Christ for a long period of time. If you don't have accountability, it's a very, very dangerous place to be. So I think there's a great place for it. And certainly if you look at the history of the early church, this was part of what people did. Men, again, are agents for God. They represent God. So you're confessing to someone, you're accountable to someone because God uses means, and this is a practical means of accountability.
So I guess I'm not really following still that if there's sin in your life that you've not confessed to man, is it necessary? You know it's a sin. God knows everything.
Well, I mean, I think the big thing is to confess it to God.
Say you're embarrassed about the sin.
Well, confess it to God. I mean, God knows every single sin that you've ever committed in thought, word, and deed. And so every single day, in fact, even before I come on the show, I take some time to confess my sins, knowing that He's faithful and just, that He will forgive my sins, and that He will cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So we have to confess our sins, and the Bible says if we say we have no sins, then the truth does not dwell within us. So we have to confess our sins, but first and foremost we do to God. But I think it's also helpful to have an accountability structure, as I mentioned earlier, so that we have others that we can confess our sins to that can help us along the path to paradise.
So now I guess the answer would be then it's good to tell another person your sin.
I think it's very, very helpful, again, because of accountability. I think to have an accountability relationship with someone that's mature in the faith can be extraordinarily helpful. And as I mentioned earlier, this was the pattern of the early Christian church. And not just for a few hundred years, but for more than a millennium, and continues to be the pattern in many churches today. But I think, in essence, accountability is always good. I have written an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition that gets in a little more detail on this. It's titled, Must We Continually Confess Our Sins? As mentioned earlier, a couple of great resources available for those who support the ministry. Of course, the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, the Word of God audio Bible. I listen to it in the car every day, absolutely mesmerized by it. When you hear it, you will know why. Also, my book, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Any one of those resources available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. And we'll be right back with a quote of the day and more answers to your questions.
The great Protestant reformer Martin Luther testified, I am well satisfied with the gift of the Holy Scriptures, which give me abundant instruction and all that I need to know for this life and for that which is to come. Luther's wise words ought to prompt us to hit the pause button and become immersed in God's Word. To help you do that, CRI is offering the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament.
a magnificently dramatized new audio production voiced by an all-star cast and featuring an original music score, along with wonderful sound effects. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. To stand our ground effectively against today's assaults on the Christian worldview, we must, as Hank Hanegraaff says, get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into us. To help you do that, the Christian Research Institute is offering the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. This new magnificently dramatized production is voiced by an all-star cast and features an original music score and wonderful sound effects. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or go online at equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Paul, listening in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Sirius XM 131. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Hank. Good evening. Thank you so much for your ministry. I really enjoy it. I listen all the time. I've learned a lot by listening. Really appreciate all that you do.
Thank you.
My question is about, I'm in a mega church down here in Mount Pleasant, Seacoast Church. We have 17 satellite churches. And the church over, I've been there 20 years, and it just keeps growing and getting bigger and bigger. I do believe the pastor's hearts are good. I do think they're generous with their money and such. I don't think they're trying to make money off the church. I do wonder though when people they do that head nod for salvation. One and two, I wonder is I see the church keeps getting bigger. And I do see people getting their lives changed, and I go to a Bible study, and I see people coming around. But I just wonder, in relation to it, we have a pastor coming down this weekend or this week to preach from Elevation, which is up in Charlotte in your area, Stephen Furtick. And I'd just like to hear your opinion of that church also. But the churches, they really stress the unsaved person. But then I notice a lot of people in the church are taking antidepressants. They kind of smile and they act like they're nice, but they're really, I think there's a lot of pain in their lives. And I think a lot of the needs of the congregation aren't getting met. And I was listening to what you said about the church in China, and that was very interesting. But I see the church just, and while I understand we want to get people saved, and I've heard you say it all the time, one of the Great Commission, but at the same time, I don't feel like the people in the church are necessarily getting fed. And I'd just like to hear your opinion of the mega churches, and they just keep getting bigger and bigger. Like right now, we're doing a fund drive, but we're always doing a fund drive to get more money to build the church bigger. I'd just like to hear your opinion on that, please.
Well, sure. I think one thing that we all recognize is that the church is made up of imperfect people. This is not just in terms of the congregants themselves, but in terms of the pastors themselves. We're all imperfect people, and we have to keep that in mind. Some have psychological issues. Some have physical issues. We live in a fallen world. So the church is made up of imperfect people, but it's also very significant that people are fed. And you use that word, and I think that's the appropriate word to use. If you have people who are malnourished spiritually, they're going to have a host of attendant problems. And all too often, the problem is that the churches win people in a particular way, and we always say what you win them by is what you win them to. So if you win them by celebrity and by particular events, by emotional triggers, then that's typically how you keep them as well. So real important that the pastor is not just a pastorpreneur, but someone who is legitimately feeding the people. Which is to say, the pastor can only do so much. He can feed during the sermon. That means that he has to have the capacity to unfurl what God has placed in his word. He also has his own sphere of accountability and influence. He can encourage and he can exhort and he can equip those people so they in turn can equip others. So sometimes the issue is not the size of the church, but the health of the church. And as I mentioned earlier, what's critically important is that we worship God through prayer, praise, the proclamation of the word. We experience genuine oneness. It's not we go to the event and then we leave. We're bouncing off one another, as I said earlier, like marbles in an empty cathedral, and that we're genuinely equipped to go out and communicate what we believe, why we believe it, and who we believe. The other thing that I think is very important and often neglected, and in fact, I neglected saying it earlier, I neglected the main and plain thing, which is within the context of the church, we're also being fed, not just being fed by word, but also by sacrament. And those sacraments are graces by which we become, by grace, what God is by nature. In other words, as Peter put it, we become partakers of the divine nature. And so we have to partake of those graces by which we can genuinely live an engrafted life as opposed to simply a person that makes a prayer and makes a walk down the aisle and thinks that's the extent of it, and then goes, as someone has well said, to receive a liver quiver. In other words, a little jolt to get them through the next week. That's not feeding people, that's jolting people. And oftentimes what happens is we see the people and they're coming in the front doors in the mega churches in multitudes, but they're also falling out the back doors quite rapidly as well, because at the end of the day, if you're not living the exchanged life, you're living something that overpromises and underperforms. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Byron, listening in San Antonio, Texas, KDRY. Hi, Byron.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've got a friend, and this is probably going to sound like a loaded question, but I've got a friend that's an atheist, and we have these conversations back and forth, and I don't know how to give her hard, you know, proof. And I have your book, God's Blueprint, and I showed her that, and I've heard about Origins, which I do want to order, and I don't know how to just, I mean, I know God exists. I know how I feel. And I don't know how to try to be a fisher of men, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's important is just, you know, sometimes I start with the basics. And the most basic thing of all is that, you know, whether you're living here in America or you're in China or you're in Indonesia, wherever you happen to be, the one thing we all have in common is we live in a world that we can see with our eyes. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. So that when you look at the universe around you, you know intuitively that there has to be a universe maker, which is to say every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. So right at the get-go, all of us have the light of creation, which takes us beyond this atheistic idea. The atheistic idea is not tenable in an age of scientific enlightenment because it is simply a faith statement, that faith statement being nothing creates everything. Life comes from non-life, and the life that comes from non-life produces metaphysical realities. I mean, that's a big faith statement. It's a big leap of faith into a dark chasm because it's not faith founded on fact, but it's blind faith. The Christian faith says we are looking at the universe, and we know there's a universe maker, but there's something more. There's also a knowledge within every person that there's a God that they must suppress. That's why Blaise Pascal very eloquently said that God dwells in enough light so that if you want to find him, you will, and in enough obscurity so if you don't want to find him, you won't. He is available to all. And the fact that you can't see him does not mean that he doesn't exist, of course. Christians and skeptics alike recognize black holes and electrons and the laws of logic and the force of gravity, despite the fact that all of those are unseen. But we do see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. As Paul said, they've been clearly seen, they're understood from what has been made so that men are without excuse. So the order and complexity, as I just pointed out, of the universe testify to the existence of an uncaused first cause. And then you have the evidence of Jesus Christ. I mean, all of history is divided around Jesus Christ. So now you have to look at, you know, how is Jesus different than a prophet like Muhammad? How's Jesus Christ different than Buddha? I mean, Jesus Christ does not stand in a line of peers. He's utterly unique. Why is that? And I think to explicate who Jesus Christ is very important in the conversation as well. So the real issue for an atheist, and I used to be one, is not that you can't believe, but oftentimes it is that you won't believe.
Right. Yeah, and that's the argument that I'm having. They said, well, what says that Muhammad is not the ruler? What says that, you know...
Well, look at the difference between Muhammad and Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a classic example. Muhammad was a ruthless warlord. I mean, this is according to Islamic sources, ahadith that are considered reliable by Muslim scholars. He was one of the most treacherous men that ever lived. I mean, when he conquered the Khabar Jews, for example, he built a fire on the chest of the chief and caused him to suffer such great agony that he divulged where his riches were. Then he had him killed. He had his wife beautified and forced on her his bed. He married Aisha when she was 6 and consummated the marriage when she was 9. I mean, how different is the crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue? The difference between these two is the difference of infinity, not just because Muhammad was a mere man, but Jesus Christ is the God-man. He is God in human flesh. And while Muslims think that this is assigning partners to God, the unforgivable sin of shirk, it is nothing of the kind whatsoever, because we're fiercely monotheistic, but we believe that Jesus Christ is God, that within the Godhead there are three centers of consciousness, and the Muslim God is morally defective because could not, independent of the universe, even exercise the attribute of love. So, again, the difference between that worldview and a Christian worldview is so disparate that there's no harmonizing the two. I'm going to have to leave it at that. I've written about this. A lot of resources you can find on the web at equip.org. My prayers go along with you. I want to mention the quote of the day before we sign off today, kind of in the interest of answering questions. Save this for last. Actually, this is by Charles Edward White. Remember, he's the guy that wrote the cover story for the Christian Research Journal, Why Computers Will Not Become Conscious and Take Over the World. The title of the article, Who's Afraid of Hell? The quote is this, again by Charles Edward White. He says that if computers could never solve some problems whose solutions are obvious to humans, then there must be an essential difference between human minds and machines. And indeed, there are. Machines will never do what human beings can do because machines don't have minds. And with humans, just as machines, mind is not identical to brain, mind is not identical to machine. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow with more answers. Stay tuned for that.
Thank you for joining us today. To help you immerse yourself in the teachings of Scripture, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version, voiced by an all-star cast and featuring an original music score. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day.
or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.